This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
ذلك تجد هذه الطرق أحيانا تنسب إلى أشخاص ممن هم موجودون في الأسانيد من طريق القانبي أخرج فلان، من طريق القانبي أخرج فلان، من طريق محمد بن مسلمة أخرج فلان، من طريق فلان. هي تعبر عن النوع في الإسناد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 9 من شهر ذي القعدة 1444 الموافق 29 من شهر مايو 2023، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped last class. If you remember, we were talking about the new topic, which is about al-abd yatruk ma yuhibbu wa yahwa lima aw liman yuhibbuhu wa yahwa. يعني naturally, a person stays away from something that he loves and he is always interested of. He leaves this one for something which is greater or for avoid. There is no way for him to stay away from something unless if he is hoping for something better. And that's why Ibn Qayyim says this is what our nature is all about. But sometimes, unfortunately, you have some people who are not upon this common sense. قال وإذا كان كثير من المرضى يحميه الطبيب عما يضره فتأبى عليه نفسه وشهوته إلا تناوله ويقدم شهوته على عقله وتسميه الأطباء عديم المروءة. هكذا أكثر مرضى القلوب يؤثرون ما يزيد مرضهم لقوة شهوتهم. له. Ibn al-Qayyim says, he says the vast majority, you know, of people, you know, you see the doctor is trying to protect them from the illness. You know, they are suffering from a sickness and the doctor is doing his best to protect them. But unfortunately, his soul doesn't want to go with these advice. You know, the doctor is telling him, do this, do that, but he doesn't want. ويقدم شهوته على عقله. So he favor his desire over his aql. And these are the one that the scholars, the atibba, the doctors call adima al-muru'ah. Those people who are qalil al-adab. People who don't have muru'ah and they don't have adab. Yeah. قال عديم المروءة وهكذا أكثر مرضى القلوب يؤثرون ما يزيد مرضهم. He said, this is unfortunately the nature of the vast majority of those people who are suffering from the marad al-qulub. And last time we mentioned that this is the worst type of diseases, right? The marad al-qalb. لِقُوَّةِ شَهْوَةِهِمْ لَهُ. So it is not easy for marid al-qalb to stay away from his desire. Although the medicine is given to him by the sharia, but unfortunately he doesn't want to follow. Yeah, and every day this is what you find our people being all about, especially in our time. It's not easy to convince a person to stay away from desire, you know, and follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised him to do, which is the falah in his dunya and his akhirah. قَالَ فَأَصْلُ الشَّرِّ مِنْ ضَعْفِ الْإِدْرَاكِ وَضَعْفِ النفس ودناءتها. Ibn Qayyim says the root of evil is based on the weakness in the idrak. Idrak, we said, this is the proper knowledge that enables you to understand things in the way they are. Yeah, to be very realistic and to understand everything in the way it is. That's idrak. You know, تدرك الشيء يعني على حقيقته. You understand something على حقيقته, the way it is. Yeah. This is very, very important, because if you don't understand things in the way they are, you will be making a wrong decision concerning those matters. They say, الحكم على الشيء فرع عن تصوره. For you to be able to make a correct hukum on something, you must understand the thing first. If you don't understand it properly, your hukum is going to be wrong. It's going to be deficient. Yeah, that's why when you go to the scholars, if you want them to give you correct hukum, you tell them the whole story with no cheating, no hiding anything. At least we are very expert in this, you know. We give the sheikh information according to what we want him to say. So that's why sometimes he gives hukum. If somebody asks him again, he will give another hukum. But then that person, the second one, will tell him, but sheikh, last time you told so and so and so, you know, something else. He will tell you, no, he did not ask me about this. Ask me about something else. Otherwise, the hukum is going to be the same. You know, the hukum is going to be the same. You know. One of our colleagues was asking Sheikh Mukhtar about an issue. He told him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and stay away from it. You know, subhanAllah, he says, after a long period of time, I met him again. He said, intentionally, I asked him the same fatwa was given. Because I gave him the same question. And he recognizes him. I guess the third one, he chases him away. Yeah, so if you give the correct information, the full information, then the scholars will be able to give you the correct ruling. الحكم على الشيء فرع عن تصوره. For you to be able to judge something, you have to understand it correctly. And that's why in most instances we are wrong in the way we judge the Sharia, right? Because you have the basic, you don't have the correct information. Yeah, you graduate, you know, and then you think you have everything and you talk on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sharia, you don't even understand the concept properly. How is it possible for you to give the correct hukum concerning that concept? So he says, Aslu Sharri, the root of the Shar is based on the weakness that a person is having when it comes to al-idrak, not being able to see things in the way they are. He doesn't have the proper knowledge about things. The definition of terms, you know, with him is very deficient and weak. وَضَعْفُ النَّفْسِ, and also weakness of the soul in terms of having the courage to execute that decision which have been made based on that idrak. So adraktahu, you know, you got it correctly and you know what exactly it means and you understand the thing ala haqiqatihi, and now what left is the execution, you know, part. This one need strong azima and high determination, you know, strong courage that will help a person to be able to execute whatever he understand, to put it into action. So ضَعْفُ النَّفْسِ وَدَنَاءَتِهَا, his soul is weak and also useless. الشَّيْءُ الدَّنِي is useless. That's why they said dunya is called dunya لِدَنَاءَتِهَا, because in the low level in comparison to the akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَ. If dunya has the value of the wing of mosquito in the eyes of Allah, لَمَا سَقَى كَافِرًا مِّنْهَا شَرْبَتَمَا, a non-believer will not be able to have a drop of water to drink in this life. The dunya doesn't have any value. That's why they said dunya is called dunya لِدَنَاءَتِهَا. Yeah, لِدَنَاءَتِهَا. أَوَلِ دُنُوِهَا مِنَ الزَّوَالِ. Yeah, he's always closer to perishing and fizzling, you know. So he says, النَّفْسُ لِدَنَاءَةُ النَّفْسِ وَحَقَارَتِهَا. You know, two things. These are the root of the evil. First of all, lack of knowledge. the true knowledge, and the second one also the weakness that the soul is having, and also somebody to have his soul been described as a very useless in a very low level. وأصل الخير من كمال الإدراك وقوة النفس وشرفها وشجاعتها. And the root of good comes from the Kamal al-Idrak. Kamal al-Idrak means a person who has a comprehensive knowledge concerning matters and things which he deals with. So he has a complete knowledge, and also waqoot al-nafs, and strong confidence and courage, you know, to put that knowledge into practice. And these are the people who are described as having the nafs al-sharifa. Nafs al-sharifa is the soul that is in the high level. That's why you see these people, subhanAllah, they never agree with things which are having low qualities. Yeah, they said, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَقِينَ إِمَامًا. Yeah, they don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be لِعَمَّةِ النَّاسِ. They don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them leaders for anyone. But they said, Ya Allah, make us leaders for the best amongst your creation. Yeah, make us leaders for the best amongst your creation. إذا كانت النفوس كبارا تعبت في مرادها الأجسام. Those people, they understand things in the way they are. That means, you know, no rest until the time they get that which will elevate them in ranking in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't know laziness. Yeah, they don't know laziness. These are the people who are having the soul that is called an-nafs al-sharifa, al-rafi'a. So they have a strong courage, which they support this knowledge with this strong courage, you know, subhanAllah, whatever they understand, they put it into action. So he says, the root of the khayr is based on this knowledge and also the strong confidence that a person has to put that knowledge into action. قَالَ فَالْحُبُّ وَالْإِرَادَةُ أَصْلُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَبْدَأُهُ. He says, love and irada. Irada is strong willingness to put something into action. You have in aqidah the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have the maratib al-qadr. You remember the qadr? What are the pillars of qadr?
Al-ilm.
Al-kitaba. Al-kitaba.
Al-mashiyah.
Al-khal. Jazakallahu khairan. We have three maratib, or the pillars of the qadr. Al-ilm, wal-kitaba, wal-khalq, wal-mashi'a, wal-khalq. You have knowledge as the first one, and this is their order also in the way puts them. Knowledge comes first, okay? And then after the knowledge is the kitaba, writing that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows everything, and His knowledge encompasses everything. No limit to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Kullu kana," you know, it's one of the most interesting places in the Quran to show you how strong is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Kullu kana al-bahru midadan li kalimati rabbi lanafila al-bahru qabla an tanfada kalimatu rabbi walau jina bimithlihi madada." In Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Walau annama fil ardi min shajaratin aqlam والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفذت كلمات الله. الله أكبر. Allah says, if you have all of the trees on earth, you know, if we talk about the trees in UAE, it's more than enough, you know, to be a lot, you know. But all of the trees on earth, you turn them into pens. والبحر, and the ocean, the sea, you turn it into an ink. Mimbadihi sab'at abhurin, and you multiply that ocean by seven. And this is according to the tariqatu al-Arab. Al-Arab, they have this word number seven. You know, they use it not to intend the literal meaning. You get it? When somebody doesn't want to do something for you, they use seven. They use 70, you know. They will tell you, wallahi, if you're going to ask me 70 times, I would never give. But if you ask him 71 times, he still will not give. So Allah says, "Istaghfir lahum أو لا تستغفر لهم. إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. Ask Allah to forgive them. Whether you ask Allah to forgive them or you don't ask Him to forgive them, if you're going to ask Him 70 times, Allah says, I will never forgive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو أعلم. If I know that if I ask Him more than 70, I will ask. If I know that He will accept if I ask Him 71 times, He said, I will do. But that was the way the Arab used to talk. So sometimes they use the word seven. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِن بَعْدِهِ سَبَعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَنَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. If you're going to have seven times of that sea, that ocean of ink, and use the pens which, you know, you converted all the trees on earth, you make them the pen. You use that pen to write the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pen will get dry, the ink will finish, and still, you are nowhere actually. مَنَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. The words and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never end. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. You know, the keys to the unseen are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the keys to the unseen? قَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي آخِرِ سُورَةِ الْقُمَانِ. Saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last part of Surah Al-Quman, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. He said keys to the unseen, the Prophet also mentioned, meaning only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this and nobody can know anything about them. Those five things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Knowledge of the Day of Judgment belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. And also He's the one who sent down the rain. Nobody can tell you exactly the quantity, you know, when, how, you know, all of these things. And even if the science also managed, if the science managed to reach, you know, some knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, you know, to know, you know, to have some expectation that rain is going to come at a certain point of time, but still, there has to be a lot of things which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Because He make it the key to the unseen which nobody knows except Him. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And that which is in the womb, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. And this is not referring to what the doctors are telling us about the gender of the child. There are still things which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about that child. وَيَعْلَمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. Nobody can tell you precisely what exactly he will be doing tomorrow. Yeah, we plan. And in most instances, we execute our plan. But there are circumstances where, no matter how much you try, it will never work. Because there is somebody who is on top of your irada, and his irada tamshi wa tamfudh. Mashi'atuna tabi'a li mashi'atihi. Our mashi'a, our irada, is following the mashi'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever he wants has to take place first before ours. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And nobody knows when, where exactly is he going to be dying. Yeah, that's why the person is just relaxed. Yeah, no matter how much you try to run away from death, this will be a joke. Rather than running away from death, prepare for the death. Because death has to come in the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared and planned for a person. أَقْرَبُ مَا سَمِعْتُ. One of the strangest thing which I heard, the scholars have been narrating this story in our contemporary time. There are many stories in the past, which many of them are fake, or at least we cannot confirm the asanid. But this one, our scholars have been narrating it as a fact that happens in our time. Get the idea? The earthquake happened. 8 hours later, they discover a person, you know, inside the rubbles, the building. You know, subhanAllah. Very painful moment. He survived. His family, all of them are dead. He says he used to feed them akramakumullah, bowl, pea, so that they cannot die, to have something to drink because of thirst. They're looking for water. He survived, they died. 8 hours later, they got him out. Why? Because his time is not yet. In another place, somebody fell from the building. Nobody thought he would survive, you know. He get down. And to your surprise, no khadsh, no scratching, no injuries. People thought he's dead already, you know, because it was very high. So people went to him, they congratulated him. Congratulations. And so he was so happy that he survived. And he was so happy also with the way the people are so happy that he lived. He told them, please wait here. Let me just cross the road and get drinks for you. According to that sheikh, he said he wanted to buy for them some juice. You know. SubhanAllah, while he was on the way to cross and the speeding car came, get him. He died. And SubhanAllah, I found it very amazing, you know, to tell you that when Allah's pointer plan has to be executed in the way he wanted. You know, he fell from that place where everyone thinks he's supposed to die. He survived. And according to our calculation, if this man was a normal lift, he might be delayed. He might meet friends. And Allah's pointer want him to die exactly at that time. Because when the ajal comes, there is no way for a person to have a delay of a second. And he has to die at that moment. And so if you look at it, if he's going to come in a normal way, he might be delayed. You know, Allah throw him from that place. You know, at that speed. So that he can reach his ajal. And then he came down also with no scratch, no injury, no anything. So that he will be healthy to go to his ajal. Yeah, if he is injured, ambulance will come and divert the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want him to die. You know, subhanAllah. No coincidence in life. That's why the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib is very important. Utlubul maut tuhablakum al-haya. Utlubul maut tuhablakum al-haya doesn't mean that you should go and put yourself into trouble looking for death. No, it means relax. Yeah. The most important thing to be doing is to think about the preparation. You know, how to die peacefully, how to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully. Not about death, because death is going to come. Like the way Allah SWT wants it, it has to come. You cannot avoid it. Yeah. If Allah SWT says you will die normal death, Allah, you will die normal death. You can go into, in the middle of crocodiles, you know, and lions and all of these things, Wallahi, you have to come out peaceful, because Allah did not write death in that way. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that this person will die because of this sabab, wherever you go, that sabab is going to reach you. So that means a person should relax and get busy with the preparation of how to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not think about the death in terms of trying to avoid it. We cannot avoid it. Yeah, but we can make a better plan to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully after death. So Allah says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. You don't know where exactly are you going to die. Khalid bin Walid, how did he die? On his bed. You know. And this man, before Islam, went to so many battles. Somebody says, almost every part of his body is injured. You know, every part of his body, you see the sign of the wound. You know. Almost every part, you know. The scratches of the sword and arrows and spears and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, in Islam also, he went to so many battles. During the Battle of Mu'tah, he says, I lost 9 swords. And subhanAllah, he says at the end of the day, when he was about to die, he says, وَهَا أَنَا أَمُوتُ كَمَا تَمُوتُ الْإِبْلِ. He says, I went to battles, many battles. And at the end of the day, I am here going to die just like the way a camel is dying on his own resting place. And then he made dua. He says, فَلَا نَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ الْجُبَنَا. He says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not give chance for a coward person to sleep in his life. You know? Yeah, because going to the battle doesn't mean death. You know? So what I'm trying to say is a person should focus more on how to prepare, you know, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death will come, confirmed, you know, and there is no way for a person to avoid it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرْدِ وَالْبَحَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in the sea and what is on the land. Yeah, we have either the sea or the land, right? Yeah, Allah knows what is here and what is there. If you stop here, then it's enough, you know, to tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. وَيَعْلَمْ مَا فِي الْبَرْدِ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows any leaf of a tree that is falling down. Yeah, just now one of them fell down. You know, Allah knows why is it falling down, when is it falling down, where is it going to fall down, you know, and how is it going to fall. Every single detail about that leaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He says, وَمَا تَسْقُطْ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطِبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. You Allah, you will never see a knowledge like this. Allah says, if you have a seed, you put it in the lowest level of the earth and you cover it. And Shaykh Ibn Thaymeen is giving an example. He says, you go to the sea, you know, go to the lowest part of it and dig a hole to the lowest part of that place and put the sea and cover it, you know. You have dhulumat ba'duha fawqa ba'd, you know, darkness on top of darkness. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very normal. It's like something which is just present in front of you. Yeah. And it said, and he's the only one that there is nowhere you can go to hide from him, except to him. He's the only one that when you're afraid of him, the only place you can go and hide is to go to him. Then you can hide. Yeah. Any other person, when you're afraid of him, you run away. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone, when you're afraid of him, you run away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. When you're afraid of him, the only protection you have is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And anything that exists, you know, in this life, whether it is dry or it is wet, it is in well documented in Lawhu al-Mahfuz. In the last part of Surah At-Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahunna yatanazzalu al-amru baynahun lita'lamu anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created seven heavens wa min al-ardi mithlahunna, and from the earth also similar to the same amount in number. Yatanazzalu al-amru baynahunna. And you have the affair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wahi is coming, the qadr, you know, aqdarullahi azza wa jal, is coming from between the heavens and the earth to the people. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is brought by the angels is always between the heavens and the earth. Allah says, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah, these ayat are giving hope to the believers, you know. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Always remember this, yeah. Bi'izin Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will get your need whenever you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember this, that you are dealing with somebody who is ala kulli shay'in qadir. He says, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Subhanallah. You know that the qudratullahi Azza wa Jalla fawqa kulli qudra. So Allah has the power and ability over everything. Everything. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything with no exception. No exception. What does that mean, ayyuhal Muslim? Ask whatever. Depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just if you are with him, just understand that you just have to take the back seat and relax and sleep. You Allah. If you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you just take the back seat and sleep. Because you will never be neglected. You will never be neglected. He says, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. You remember that that person who مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. He passed through a city, and that city was gone completely. Somebody took it to the ground. So the way the destruction happened in that place, that righteous person, whether he is Uzair or whoever, Allahu A'lam, yani Allah did not mention the name of that person, but we learned from the context that this is a righteous person. So he says, أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Yani, how is it possible for this one also? So you can imagine how much destruction that place received. How is it possible for this place also to recover, to be brought back on the day of judgment? فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعَثَهُ قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتَ. Allah killed him Amatahullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took off his life, mi'atam, for 100 years. Because 100 years is more than enough for the bone to decompose and everything to be gone. Thumma ba'atha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, kam labithtu? Qala labithtu yawman aw ba'd yawm. Yeah, we're just there a day or some part of a day. Qala la, bal labithtu mi'atam. Fandhur ila ta'amika wa sharabika lamma tasanna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept his food intact, preserved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, wandhur ila himarik. And he doesn't see his creation, right? He's having doubt, you know, but he doesn't see the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back. But watch and see your donkey. Allah says, wandhur ila idhami kayfa nunshizuha thumma naksuha lahma. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ Allah, in front of his eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought everything back. لَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ I love his comment, you know. When he sees what happened, he says, أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Say, bear witness. And I believe, I have the yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Right after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about Ibrahim alayhi as-salam. He also says, رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي This is the evidence for ziyadatul iman. He says, Ya Allah, I just want increase in my iman. I have a faith, complete faith. Yes. وَاللَّهُ لَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ And qiyamah is true, and the resurrection is true, but I want my iman because لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَيَنَةِ There's no way for the khabar to be like mu'ayana. You know what I told you? It will never be the same as when you see with your own eyes. You know, your belief is going to be much stronger than when you are told. You know? You might accept because the one who is speaking to you, you trust him. But it will never be like when you see. You know? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assure, قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي And some of the losers says actually, Ibrahim was not in doubt. Qalbi was the name of a person called Qalbi, who was the student of Ibrahim. So Ibrahim told Allah, no, Qalbi is in doubt. So, Allah, subhanAllah. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and ability to understand the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to depend on him the way it should be done. قَالَ فَالْحُبُّ وَالْإِرَادَةُ أَصْلُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَبْدَأُهُ So we're talking about the pillars of iman, we talk about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second one is the kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ Allahu Akbar. مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ And they've never neglected everything. It's really, really, really amazing, amazing place, you know, that has everything in it. How big it is, Allahu A'lam. This is one of the interesting things that a person would like to know when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَوْهُ الْمَحْفُوظِ Allah says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ Everything is there, being written. So he says, the second one is al-kitaba, writing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote, ma kan, wa ma yakun, wa ma sayakun fi al-mustaqbal. Wa kayfa yakun, kullu shayin in detail, kullu shayin fassalnahu tafsil. What happened and what will happen and what is happening and how is it going to happen? Every single detail, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written. And this knowledge belongs to Allah alone. Yeah. Because there are some of the losers who believe that their imams, they know ma kana, wa ma sayakun, wa ma law kana kayfa yakun. Tayyib, what did he left for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You get the idea? So they can understand how much shirk those guys are committing. For somebody to believe that there is a human being who knows what happened and what will happen in the future. And also, how is it going to happen? Nobody knows this except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed about what will happen in the future. Like the mu'jizat of Al-Anbiya, when they talk about the mustaqbal, Yeah, this is ta'limullahi azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who informed them that in the future, something is going to happen. And it is going to happen precisely in the way they explain. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُذْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا لِيَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything. Yeah. So no coincidence in this life. Okay, that's the second one, right? Al-Kitabah. The third one is Al-Mashi'ah. Al-Irada wal-Mashi'ah. You know, he has the knowledge, and he wrote that knowledge, and then you have the Mashi'ah and the Irada. And as I mentioned in one of my classes, that the best way to understand the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to understand these Maratib al-Iman, or Maratib al-Iman bil-Qadr, or Pillars of Iman bil-Qadr. Yeah, you need to understand the way they're placed in their order by the scholars, then no confusion will be, you know, happening to you in your life. You know, as a student of knowledge, you're going to see nusus, which many people are confused, but there is no confusion for somebody who has knowledge and took it from the scholars who are the murabbun. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kunu rabbaniyin. Rabbaniyu huwa alladhi yu'allimu an-nasa sighar al-'ilmi qabla kibarihi bitadarruj, giving them tarbiyah, because with tarbiyah to hear insha'u shay'i halan fa halan ila haddi at-tamam. So in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qabada qabdat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pick up one qabda. Qabda is to have one fold of something, to catch something with your hand. That's qabda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has one qabda, and he told the angels hadhihi ila an-nar, these ones are going to hell. وَلَا أُبَلِي, and I don't care. SubhanAllah. And he took another one. And then he told the angels, he showed to the angels, he said, these one are going to Jannah. وَلَا أُبَلِي. If you read this hadith, what kind of conclusion are you going to have? Well, I don't know whether I am here or I am there. Then what is the point of all of these dedications, all of these actions, all of these this and that? And in fact, this is what Suraqah ibn Malik asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talk about the Qadr, he says Allah knows who's going to paradise and who's going to hell. ما منكم من أحد إلا وقد كتب الله مقعده من النار ومقعده من الجنة. Nobody amongst you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written his place in hell and his place in paradise, and nobody can skip this. Yeah, you go to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It says إن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينها وبينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه كتابه فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها. والله you get scared. Just like that companion, when he asked this question, also people are asking nowadays. You're going to ask the same question. That's why knowing the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam collectively is really necessary, and going to the scholars for explanation is always necessary, so that you can have the best explanation. A scholar said, if you look at the issue of the Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything with no limitation to his knowledge. The past, the present, and the future. And the details about how everything is going to exist, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything with no deficiency in that knowledge. So he wrote that knowledge. You know, that knowledge was there by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was there when? 50,000 years, but not the knowledge, the kitabah of the thing, yeah? Which all of these hadiths that I have quoted was dealing with, they were dealing with that kitabah. 50,000 years before the creation of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything. So actually, because kitabah comes before the creation, you get the idea? The creation did not even exist. So what is it written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz? The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about how things are going to take place in the future. And that knowledge cannot be wrong. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcing you to choose what you don't want to choose. No. We're not going to say like the Jabariyya who are saying that we don't have al-insan musayyir, we don't have a choice. It's just like that. The cotton, the piece of cotton, this fine. No, we don't say like that.
Not like that. Al-insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you free will to choose what you want to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows 50,000 years, he wrote that this knowledge 50,000 years, that fulan min al-nas is going to choose hell. Fulan min al-nas is going to choose paradise. This person will never agree to choose. Allah has written that Fir'aun will never agree to choose the path of success. Abu Jahl will never agree to choose the path of success. And Abu Bakr will never agree to choose the path that can lead to hell. So that knowledge has been written. Did that knowledge happen in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote it? Yes. And this is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of us. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we're going to choose, wallahi, this is what the choice is going to be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to choose the right way. We're the one who are making the choice, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already has written what everyone is going to be chosen. So based on that knowledge, Allah selects those people who are going, because that knowledge will never be wrong. Allah pick up those people who are going to hell, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pick up those people who are going to paradise, and inform the angel that these are in paradise and these are in hell, based on the choices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, which that knowledge will never be wrong. So it's a very simple concept, but if a person doesn't understand it correctly, you will end up having a lot of misconception. That companion said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, if this is the issue, then فِيمَ الْعَمَلِ, why do I need to come for Hajj? Why do I need to go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why do we do all of these things, you know? If everything is already written, you know? يَلَا مَا فُرِيقَ مِنْهُ يَعْنِ, why do I need to do all of these activities? But the Prophet ﷺ said, no, subhanAllah, كَلِمَةٌ تُكْتَبْ بِمَا الْعُيُونِ. He says, no, it is not like that. اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. And that's why At-Tahawi says, والقدر سر الله في خلقه. Well, I love this word so much. He says, Qadr is the secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. What does that mean? Am I supposed to go and get involved in your secret? No. That's why going deep in Qadr is very wrong and very dangerous. The vast majority of the deviation in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is based on the Iman, the Qadr. The earliest deviation in the Ummah came through the Qadr. Yeah. So that's why a person should just understand that amount that he needs. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. What is he telling me? And you and everyone? He says, your job and my job and everybody's job is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to try to identify what Allah wants you to do. Just get busy with that. Now, if I see a person praying to Allah, fasting, doing things in the right way, this is a sign that this person chose the right way. Do you get the idea? If you see a person choosing the wrong way, this is a sign that a person is choosing the hell path. So nobody can come and say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written. So what do we tell him? Why don't you do the right thing and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that one also? Yeah, it's the same. He does the wrong thing and he said this is Qadr. Why don't you do the right thing and also say this is Qadr? It works in the same thing, you know. That's the meaning of اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلُّ مَيَسَّرُ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Just get busy with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do, because every single person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making life easy for him towards that which He created him for. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِمَا بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فِيمَا يَبْدُ لِلنَّاسِ. Allahu Akbar. He says, one of you will be doing things according to what appears to us that this person is okay. Yeah, we have a lot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being among these people who are always good and righteous in public, but in secret, they are wrongdoers and criminals. Wallahi, this is very dangerous, you know. In this dunya, it's not good. You know, having two faces with human beings, you know, one face with Yusuf, one face with Adam, is wrong. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called this sharul bariyah, dhul wajhaini. Abu Muhammad says, لا تمشي ذا وجهين من بين الورى شر البرية من له وجهان. Is there an old mother told, you understand two faces, right? Yeah, I go to him, I tell him something, but when I'm with Adam, different case. When I'm with another person, different case. You know, no, a person has to be honest with everyone. His mother told the child about her friend. That's why not everything you share with the children, you know. So she told the child that this woman has two faces. She's living with a woman who is really wrong. So she told her child that this woman has two faces. That woman came to the house. So the boy was going around to see where's the second face, you know. So having two faces with human being is already evil. Imagine a person is having two faces between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation. With Allah, wrong face. With the human being, righteous face. But when he is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, another person. Yeah, so that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the day, on the day of judgment, there will be people who will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, subhanAllah, a lot of hasanat, but unfortunately, there's things in secret, which nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, this is the time that the secret is going to be revealed. Allah will deal with them in the way they used to behave in the dunya. Or contrary to the way they used to behave in the dunya. That secret is going to be exposed. The Prophet said, when the companions ask him, who are these people? He says, these are qawmun idha khalaw bi maharimillahi intahakuha. These are the people, whenever they are in a place where nobody can see them except Allah, they go against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have difference between your sarira and alaniya, try, my dear brothers and sisters, your sarira should be better than your alaniya. You Allah. If you're going to have difference, the best is to have the same. Your sarira is like your alaniya. Good inside, good outside also. Not good inside, bad outside. No, don't do that. Not good outside, bad inside also. But if you happen to choose the inside to be pure and clean with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be excellent. Even if you're going to do the wrong thing in public, but in secret, be an excellent person. And this is wrong, both are wrong. Your sarira should be like your alaniya. And you have differences in the maratib only. Not total opposite. This one is this and the other one is the other direction. So you have the mashia, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create things and to put that knowledge and to execute that knowledge. And the last pillar of the qadr is, which one is the last pillar of the qadr? The last pillar of the qadr is the creation itself. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, I did not translate the last part of it. The Prophet said, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. And that's why in most of the circumstances when I quote this, I completed with the statement of Ibn Rajab. When he says, it's not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to complete the life of righteous people with evil conclusion. Allah is not like that. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Yeah. Allah doesn't disappoint his people. He cannot live your life in a good way. As a righteous person, everything is perfect. You have a good relationship with Allah. And then at the last minute, Allah will ignore you. No, this is not Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Alameen is when you are righteous and you're honest. When you are in the last moment, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. That's the best time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be with you. So that's why he says it is not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to complete the righteous the life of the righteous people with evil conclusion. That's why he says, فَفِي الْجُمْلَةِ الْخَوَاتِيمُ مِيرَاثُ السَّوَابِكُ. He says the conclusion, usually what happens is the end is usually the reflection of the past, your attitude and your behavior. Come and appear when a person is about to die. قال فالحب والإرادة. So the irada of the human beings, because we also have irada. You know, it's wrong to believe that a person doesn't have irada. You know, all of you come to this class, and according to the common sense, nobody forced you to come. You brought yourself here by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His power and might, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you here. He supported you to come here, but who's making the irada to come? Who's making the movement? You are doing that. Yeah. I'm saying this because you have some people who believe that, no, you're not the one who's doing that. You just found yourself in this place. Just like that. Why are you here? You say, Allah brought me here. Yeah. And subhanAllah, look at how shaytan is sawwil lahum a'malahum i'tiqadatihim. That's why you can see them doing everything. بِحُجَّةِ أَنَّهُمْ لَا إِرَادَةَ لَهُمْ. Imagine if everyone is going to take this aqidah. Wallah, you have to walk in the street with guns. Because a person will kill another person and just say, I don't know what happened, you know. My hand just went and smack him, you know. You have to be holding your weapons also to protect yourself from the criminals. There will be no accountability, because anyone who does an evil thing, when you ask him, he will say, I don't know, I have no control over myself, you know. So you also, for you to survive, you have to take that aqidah also to smack him back and tell him, I also don't have control, you know. You know, subhanAllah. That's why the only thing that works with human beings, wallahi, is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You have some of the losers, useless actually, you know, that tunazzil al-haywanat min i'tiqadati. Ewallah, if you attribute this i'tiqadat to the haywanat, I believe if the animals can talk, they will blame you. Yeah. If the animal can talk, the animal will ask you, you are insulting us. No. Yeah. The guy, one of the kuffar, was describing another kafir, a leader of a country, without mentioning the name of that person, Allah guide him. He says, this is also a kafir, Christian, they don't like him. But his Christianity is a bit moderate. Orthodox, they call them, the old one. Yeah. When he heard about what this person is doing, which is like totally against the corrupt Bible, even the corrupt one also doesn't agree with that. You know? So he says, I don't know, should I call him a dog? But he says, I was going to call him a dog, but then I remember that I have a dog at home. I'm not sure, how do I explain to my dog when I go home and the dog asks me, why do you attribute this person to us, you know? These are the ones who said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what is going on. And who are like, the Qawl al-Jabariya is so stupid, so silly. But when you hear the Qadariya's Qawl, I think it's more ridiculous than the first one. Those guys will tell you, you know, now you are here, right? Okay, Yusuf is drinking water. According to the Qadari, Allah doesn't know that he's going to drink. Only after it happened, then Allah knows that Yusuf is going to drink. Yeah. That's why they said, إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عَوْنٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِلْفَتَىٰ فَأَوَّلُ مَا يَجْنِي عَلَيْهِ اجْتِهَادُهُ. All of these, they are making effort according to them, not to attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala injustice by saying that Allah punish somebody for something which he is the one who gave him the ability to do it. That's Qadariya. Yeah. That's where they have one of their principles, Al-Adl. Meaning, a human being is the one who is creating his actions. Yeah. That's why they are called Majusu Hadhi al-Ummah. Because Majus believe that we have two ilah. Qadariya also believe that there are two ilah. One of them is a person himself and Rabbul Alameen. قال فالحب والإرادة أصل كل شيء ومبدأه. The root of everything, the origin of everything is love and irada, the willingness to execute that love. قال والبغض والكراهة أصل كل ترك ومبدأه. The cause for any tark, a tark is to stay away from something, to leave something. The root of all of these is البغض والكراهة. You know, hatred and dislikeness. You know, why do you stay away from things? Because you don't like them, you hate them. وَهَاتَانِ الْقُوَّتَانِ فِي الْقَلْبِ أَصْلُ سَعَادَةِ الْعَبْدِ وَشَقَاوَتُهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Yazid ibn Qayyim, khair al-jaza. This person really, really amrat al-qulub. He says these two strengths, these two powers, they are the root of the success of person. You know. The heart cannot succeed unless if you have this quwa. You have the quwat al-bughd, quwat al-karaha, and quwat al-hubb wal-irada. Yeah, if you have that quwat al-irada, al-hubb wal-bughd wal-karaha, then a person is going to succeed. Yeah, because there are things which you must hate them. Yeah. The Prophet said, أَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. You can't succeed until you hate going back to kufr, just like the way you hate to see yourself being cast in hell. So that kind of hatred must exist. And the karaha, you know, hatred to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate. As a Muslim, you have to hate anything which is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must hate it. That's why the contracts that involve sins, we are not supposed to sign those contracts even if we know that we can avoid that sin. We can't, because Allah hates it. And as a Muslim, you have to hate it. And there is no way for you to tell us that you hate something and you're doing it at the same time. Yeah, unless if you can justify that you are doing it because there is a command for you to do it to get something which is mahbub. And this hatred is based on your hatred, not the hatred of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards that thing. To get an idea, you can't say that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're doing what he hates. No, for your love to be completed and also to be correct and to be true, you must love what Allah loves and you must hate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. That's why the Prophet says, three things, whoever gets them, he got the sweetness of Iman. He says, أَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. What is the third one? أَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا Lillah. You know, last time when I wrote this, I forgot one of them. And this time around, also one of them is missing. The first one is missing, right? What is the first one? Yeah, I'm dealing with people who usually then memorize a hadith. كل أقوال ابن حزم بعضهم حفظوها. لكن So, Simon, go and look for the third one. He says three things. If you have them, you taste the sweetness of Iman. One of them is أن تحب المرء لا تحبه إلا لله. To love a person, not for the sake of anything except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got the hadith? Yeah. أن يحب أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواه. جزاك الله خير الجنة. He says, and a person who loves to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than the way you love anything else. That's number one. Yeah. إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. And the second one, وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله. You love a person not for anything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last one is to hate going back to kufr in all of its forms. Just like the way you hate seeing yourself going to hell. So this has to exist. البغض في الله والكراهة في الله والحب في الله عز وجل ولله ولأجل الله عز وجل. This is a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who hates and love but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الرجل لعبد الله بن عمر إني أحبك في الله. He says I love you for the sake of Allah. And then Abdullah bin Umar told him وأنا أكرهك في الله. But me, I hate you for the sake of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. لأنك تأخذ على أذانك أجرا. Because you take reward when you make أذان. So you're not doing it for Allah سبحانه وتعالى. قال ووجود الفعل الاختياري لا يكون إلا بوجود سببه من الحب والإرادة. الفعل الاختياري, these are the أفعال, the actions that are based on your choice. You choose to do. الفعل الاختياري is the فعل that comes based on your choice. You know, you want to do it and you chose to do it, you're doing it. And that is al-fi'l al-ijbari, al-tarari, the one that you have no control over it. You know, sometimes some of the movement in their body, you don't control them. It just came by itself and you cannot stop them. But af'al al-ikhtiyariya, these are the af'al that you know you're doing and you choose to do. Yeah? He says that لا يكون إلا بوجود سبب من الحب والإرادة. Yeah, that is a love. When you do an action, that is a love towards that action and irada, and strong willingness to do it. قال وأما عدم الفعل فتارة يكون لعدم مقتضيه. عدم الفعل means lack of action. Person not doing anything. You get the idea. He says, "Taratan yakunu li adami muqtadi." Why do you stop doing things? He says, "Sometimes because it happens li adami muqtadi wa sababi, because there is nothing that can push you to do it, no cause for it. So you're staying away from it because there is nothing to push you to do it." Wa taratan yakunu li wujud al bughd wal karahat al mani'at minhu. And sometimes you stay away from it because you hate it so much, you know. You dislike it so much, so you stay away from it. قال وهذا متعلق الأمر والنهي. This is the base of the amr, the command, and also the prohibition. And nahi means to ask somebody to stay away from something. وهو الذي يسمى الكف. And this is what the scholars of usul or the usuluddin, they call it al-kaf. Al-kaf means to abstain from doing something, to restrain yourself from doing something. I mean, al-kaf, to stay away from something. وَهُوَ مُتَعَلَّقُ الثَّوَابِ وَالْعِقَابِ. And this is the base of the thawab, reward and iqab. وَبِهَذَا يَزُولَ الْإِشْتِبَاهُ فِي مَسْأَلَةِ التَّرْكِ هَلْ هُوَ أَمْرٌ وُجُودِيٌ أَوْ عَدَمِيٌ. And he says, if you understand this correctly, then you will understand the mas'alat al-tark, because they have this issue of tark. هل هو أمر وجودي أم أمر عدمي؟ ترك, staying away from something. Is this something tangible that exists, or something that doesn't exist actually? قال والتحقيق أنه قسماني. He says the correct way to talk about this is that there are two types of ترك. الترك المضاف إلى السبب المقتضي. إلى عدم السبب المقتضي عدمي. The ترك, you know, staying away from something which is, you know, related to or attributed to عدم المقتضي. You know, a person stay away from something because there is nothing which ask him and motivates him to do it. This one doesn't exist. Because it's just دوام الحالة. Okay? I'm not doing something, I just continue with the way I am. That ترك is like something which doesn't exist. Where is it? You're just not doing anything. والمضاف إلى السبب المانع من الفعل وجودي. And if there is a cause that asks you to do, so he says this is wujudi, it's something that exists. That's why when they talk about the nahi itself is also command at the same time. Right. Yeah, command to do something. When there is a nahi, that's instruction, this is also command. But command, al-amru bit-tarki. That's why it's al-amru bil-fi'l. Kilahuma amr. You are asking a person to stay away or you're asking a person to do something. Qala wa kullu wahidin min al-fi'l wa tarki al-ikhtiyarayn innama yu'thiruhu al-hayyu lima fihi min husuli al-manfaati allati yaltadh bi husuliha. So I guess this is the best place to stop and is a, what do you call, conclusion of what Ibn al-Qayyim said. It is a new topic, but he will conclude what exactly is he talking about previously. So inshallah, we keep it until the next class. He has a very nice conclusion also where he quotes from Ibn Hazm. Although he doesn't mention Ibn Hazm, but this is almost precisely what Ibn Hazm says in his book, Mudawat al-Nufus. Very, very, very excellent statement, and he says, "Qala ba'd al-ulama." Qala ba'd al-ulama. Some of the scholars said, فكرت في ما يسعى فيه العقلاء. That's exactly what Ibn Hazm was saying in his book. Okay, wallahu alam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and tawfiq in this dunya and the akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafir. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Mazin, do you have any gift? Yusuf, you're going to ask me a question. في الكتاب من شيء.
يعني ظننت أن هذا يعني عن القرآن، الكتاب مقصود
القرآن. على القول الصحيح أن ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء. This is لوح المحفوظ. It's not the Quran. Yeah. وكل شيء فصلناه تفصيلا راجع إلى الكتب المنزلة. Yeah. Quran, Torah, every قوم according to their need. Yeah. Torah is a book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wa tafsila li kulli shay. That's Torah. It has everything. Quran is more comprehensive than a Torah and an Injil. But whatever a Jew needs to succeed in life, Allah gave them. Everything. So and as such, their book is 100% complete. They don't need anything else. You get it? Injil. 100% a complete book. But since Quran is a book given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the final messenger of Allah, and there will be no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fix what people might be doing which is wrong. So that's why his sharia has to be more comprehensive than any other sharia, and that's the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa muhaiminan alayh. Al-haymanatu al-Quran ala baqiyatil kutub means Quran contains everything that those books had and also additional information which you might not find them in those books. But it doesn't mean that the life of those people are deficient. No. They have the complete system to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't have issues in the way we have. So we have a system which is different from their system. Do you get the way it is? Yeah. Because ahkam usually comes according to the need. You know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down the hukum according to the need of the people. We need this, we need that. And the previous nation don't need it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give them that thing. You get it? So Quran is the most comprehensive book as the meaning of the haymana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, wa muhaiminan alayhi. But ma faratna fil kitabi min shay, according to the best opinion of the scholars, this is referring to the lawh al-mahfuz, not Quran. You get it? Al-kitab here is lawh al-mahfuz. Yeah, if you refer to the Quran, then it is also true that everything that human beings need, Quran covers everything. Yeah, everything, either directly or indirectly. Wallahi, there is nothing that will happen in this dunya which doesn't have hukum in the Quran, either directly or indirectly through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing until the day of judgment. So كل شيء فصلناه تفصيلا. That's Quran and the rest of the kutub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained everything in detail. And attached to that, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُذِلَّ قَوْمًا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَاهُمْ حَتَّى يُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ مَا يَتَّقُونَ. Allah will never let a people go astray after guiding them until the time He explained to them exactly what He wants them to do. Get it? Yes, Adam.
Christian holds beliefs that take them out of Christianity, can we still consider them Ahlul Kitab?
If they adopt something else, they consider themselves out of Christianity, then they're not Ahlul Kitab. We will judge them based on the religion they affiliate themselves to. Let's say he went out of Christianity to Judaism, went out of Christianity to Hinduism. Yeah, he's one of those ones. تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. So yesterday when he slaughtered something in the name of Allah, although he is not a Muslim, we eat it. But today, since he is another person, we don't eat whatever he slaughtered. Yeah, he becomes another person. She is a Christian, and then a Muslim married her. Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's okay. And, so he went and then tomorrow she converted into atheism, don't believe even that Allah exists, and then he just has to advise her to accept Islam or go back to where he came from. You get an idea? Otherwise, the marriage will be gone. Yeah, because he's not allowed to stay with an atheist as a Muslim. He's not allowed to stay with somebody who is not a Christian or a Jew.
Cancel of the nikah, the akun nikah.
Yeah.
Ridda. So now if the Muslim wife...
We give him chance. We give him chance. In terms of nikah, we don't quickly destroy the marriage. He was supposed to be given a chance to accept Islam first.
My question is, she was a Muslim and then she became a Christian. But then it's allowed for a Muslim man to marry a Christian.
Yeah, that one, the Fuqaha says it's okay because she turned into Christianity. The marriage doesn't get affected. You get idea. That's why Butlan al-Amal bil-Ridda ala al-Qawl al-Sahih is conditional. Yeah. That a person dies in kufr. You get an idea. Most of the scholars believe that if a person committed apostasy, all of his actions are gone. That's when they talk about the prayer, nawaqid al-wudu, they mention ridda. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ. His actions are gone. But then other scholars said, no, not all of his actions are gone. Because in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. That means it is only for somebody who died as a kafir, then the act, the good deed will be gone. If he went and come back again, we don't have any evidence to say that all of his righteous deeds are gone. But then there are some scholars who said that other ayah that just say his ridda destroys his actions. Then they said all of his deeds, including wudu, the ghusl he has, the prayers he has, all of them are gone. Yeah. When he comes back, he comes to Islam fresh. Yeah. But according to the best opinion, that ayah is restricted to the person who died in kufr. Yeah. So that's why a couple, if the wife or the husband accepted other than Islam, we don't cut off the marriage first. We invite him, we give him respite. You know, we invite her to accept Islam, but if they don't want, they refuse, and then alas. Yeah. Most likely these are matters of qadha. Yeah. Yeah, we go back to the qadha in the country to decide when, until when we are going to be waiting for them. Okay, now let's go to the people behind the screen.
The Sheikh.
As-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As-salamu alaykum fi dunya wal akhirah. The first question is, if I am on my periods and want to recite Quran, how should I do it if I don't own a phone and I want to read from the Quran I used to memorize from childhood? Can I use it wearing a gloves?
I will advise to avoid using the Quran in Arabic whether a person has a cover. Though there are some scholars who says if it is between you and the ha'il, it's okay. A barrier, then it will be okay. But I will advise, nowadays we have all types of Quran. Even if you don't have the phone, we have the tafsir which they have in the middle, the same Quran that people used to memorize, use that one. This is my advice. Other than that, if you have something that you can use between you and that Quran and open it, then inshallah, I hope there is nothing with that. Some scholars said she should just put it and ask one of the children at home to open the pages for her. Whenever she wants a page, then somebody should open it for her. But if she doesn't have a child, yeah, sometimes some of the solutions are not that much realistic, you know. So, but this is what they said. I'm just narrating what some scholars mentioned, that they should have a child to open the Quran for them. But I think nowadays, honestly speaking, almost everything is provided. We don't need to face any difficulty in life when it comes to reading Quran for somebody who's not supposed to touch it. Either the app or the tafsir. And since it is not something that continues, it stayed for a few days and then will be gone. My advice is use any other tafsir, even if it is not according to the order you know. Yeah, use any other tafsir just for those few days. Yeah, and try, because these things has a Rasul. Usually, Hayd has a Rasul. This has just come like that, you know. It's come like that. No sign, no anything. No, it has a Rasul. It has a Rasul. Sometimes the pain will come. Sometimes some issues, you know, behavior will change. So the sisters knows when is it going to come. So the point is, when it sent a messenger that I'm on the way, come in. So, and you know you are memorizing Quran, and you know that your ada, your custom, is that you stayed for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. Yeah, calculate. Knows that every page, the page begins with this and it ends with this. Write it on a paper. You know, ayah numbers, this is the beginning of this page, and ayah number, this is, and to have in your brain the same sequence of the ayat on the Quran you used to memorize. So after that period, then go back to you. I mean, this is just the worst case scenario. Otherwise, I believe in this life of ours, you know, especially if a person is living in the city. Go to any masjid, you see these variety types of Quran, you know. But if you are living in a place where Quran is, access to Quran is not that easy, you know. Because after that, you have, you know. I have a lot of Quran in my office. I used to have a huge amount. I'm looking for who can take, you know. And subhanAllah, I see a family who are sharing Quran. Today you read, tomorrow you pass it to me, tomorrow you pass it to this person. That's the only Quran they have in the house. You know? Yeah. So you have this, when you go to places, you have having access to the copy of the Quran. It's not easy. Yeah. And that's why, you know, on this one, don't ask me any question concerning this matter. You know, no question, that's my condition. You know? Yeah. That's why some legalize the sale of the Quran. You know, the Quran is written, waqf la yuba wa la yushtara. Yeah, some scholars said it's okay to sell it in those areas where there is no access to the Quran. And takabbadu al-takalif, you know, he has to encounter difficulty to bring it to that place. They said it's okay for him to sell. Don't ask me what... Yeah, I have to say this, otherwise I'll receive a lot of questions, you know. Yeah, because waqf is waqf. When the owner says, la yuba, not the owner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la yuba. When you sell it, it's not waqf anymore. Strictly prohibited for waqf to be sold. So now we are left with the issue of this person. Either he take the Quran to that place and also pay for the cargo to that place, or those guys don't have Quran. But if he takes to that place, the person wants to sell. Which one is the lesser of the two evils? Not having the Quran completely, or having him taking the Quran to them, but he asked them to pay. Or you can create a third opinion. Since I said no question, I can create a third opinion also, which is to take, to just charge them the price, you know, whatever he spent on the way to it. Don't sell the Quran to them, but he paid for the cargo, this amount. So he charged them for that only. That's the third opinion that could be moderate opinion. You get it? And he should tell them, actually, this Quran is waqf. Usually those Quran, you see, it is even written, you know, waqf lillah, la yuba'. But then you have to go and buy it from him. And he's telling you, waqf lillah, la yuba'. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. As I was saying, in these days, I don't think anyone should have a problem with reading Quran, you know, because you have so many options. Finish?
The next question is, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ. أحسن الله إليك في الدنيا والآخرة. What is a remedy for someone with lack of action? Lack of, they have the knowledge but no action. They can't apply the knowledge into action.
To fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remember that knowledge without action is going to be wabal. And also musiba upon the person who is having that knowledge in this dunya and also the akhirah. Yeah. وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ صاحب الزبد he says وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَا يَعْمَلًا مُعَذَّبٌ مِّن قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثِلِ says the one who has a knowledge but he doesn't use that knowledge might be punished on the day of judgment before the idol worshippers. Yeah, you remember the person in hell, the Prophet ﷺ said تَنْدَلِقُ أَقْتَابُهُ يعني يَدُورُ بِهَا كَمَا يَدُورُ رَحَى person in hell, imagine the hell people are pitying this person. And they stopped for a while, they started asking him what happened, you know. So you can imagine how much punishment this person is receiving, you know, in this place, you know. They ask him, what happened? Aren't you the one who used to tell us, do this, do that? And now you are here with us? He would tell them, yes, كنت أمركم بالمعروف ولا آتي. وَأَنْهَاكُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَآتِي I used to ask you to do good things, but I don't do. And I used to ask you to stay away from evil, but I always do the evil. It's very dangerous for a person to learn without acting upon that knowledge. And knowledge is useless without action. Wallahi is useless without action. The zakat for the knowledge is action. The people of the past, they used to seek the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to memorize the knowledge through the action. Yeah. And so when they learn, they quickly try to apply. They learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they apply. Yeah, it's only in our time we're busy collecting. Action is very little. And unfortunately, who are the least in terms of action? Acting upon the knowledge. Between the student of knowledge and the common, the layman in society. Student of knowledge. Unfortunately, you Allah, we are the least when it comes to the nawafil and sunan. We are the least when it comes to charity and other activities. We are the least when it comes to husn al-jiwar and good relationship. You know, even the simple thing when you meet your brother and smile and shake his hand, we are the least in almost everything, you know. And subhanAllah, nowadays you see our scholars from time to time, they are aware of this. They started reminding people, which is very good. Yeah, we always see people as evil, you know, bad people. But unfortunately, we're not doing what they're doing, you know. And subhanAllah, wallahi, some of them might be way closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than us. And they have only little knowledge. We have a lot. Yours is maybe 1 million times of what he has. But he is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you. Because that little amount of knowledge he has, he put it into practice and action, and you are busy doing otherwise, you know. So, zinatul ilm al-amalu bihi. Yeah. Zinatul ilm al-amalu bihi. The beauty of knowledge is to put it into practice and action. Whatever you learn, act upon it. Yeah. And this is good, you know. That's why I always say, you know, in our... Sorry, let me touch my people, you know. Yeah, I have to, because we have been seeing this attitude and behavior, you know, taking place in our brothers and sisters. Yeah, you see people who will invite a sheikh, yeah, organize event, you know, and these are aman khair, you know, very, very, very good and excellent action, you know, to be the sabab for somebody to be guided. But unfortunately, you see him drinking, standing. Eating, standing, walking, and also drinking at the same time. Yeah, I want to mention the rest, you know, because there are so many other things. Iwallah, you're supposed to act as you're supposed to act as a role model. Yeah, especially you guys who are always trying to bring good to the community. Wallah, you're supposed to act as a role model. And trust me, believe it or not, people are watching you. Don't belittle yourself, people are watching. There is somebody who thinks you are somebody, and he is imitating you. Yeah, I told you, I encounter a situation which makes me weak. Yeah. A student of knowledge who told me that we're just there hanging around in that sitting, just waiting to see what she will do. And subhanAllah, I thought everything is fine because I don't join, but I'm doing things in my own way, you know, to avoid a bigger mushkila. But subhanAllah, forgetting that there are some people who are watching to see what you will do. The best method is the method of Imam Ahmad. Muhammad, stick to the truth and just go with it. If you know you cannot go with that truth, don't come to the place. Don't come to the place, you know, for you to cause trouble, you know, because sometimes we go to the place and we cause trouble. And at the end of the day, the people you are with will not listen to you in the future. Whatever you said, they will not listen to it. No, take a leave. Stay away from it. Have any kind of excuse which will take you away from that event. You know, later on, just come to the people. Give chance for yourself to advise them. So I was so shocked, and this is true. This is how it is. There is always somebody who sees you as a role model, and he wants to imitate what you're doing. You're not the one who asked him, but this is a reality. You know? They came to me in my office one day. They told me that we got confused. Yeah, so I have to explain to them that this is wrong. Yeah, I have this in the past. I have this dumya, the doll, not the teddy bear. Aha, that one. So the kids remove the eyes and they just put it like that. Never bought, but sometimes people will give them this like that and they bring it to the house. So one of the student of knowledge graduated from Islamic University of Medina. He was here, so he visited my house. Now, subhanAllah, he was saying to me that I used to have doubt in these type of things. But when I see them in your house, then now the doubt is removed. Wallahi, that's what he told me. He said, when I see it in your house, then I have, now that doubt is gone. That means it's okay. I was like, what am I doing to my, yeah, this is who we are. Every one of us is like that, you know. So especially those people who are there bringing, you know, good to the community. Trust me, people are watching. If this one doesn't watch, there is another person who thinks you are the best person for him to imitate. And as such, you have to be very careful. Do the correct thing. Let people have the best remembrance, you know, of you. You know, yeah. Whether they're alive or they go, let them take the good thing about your life. Physically, they see good from you. You expose the good and you behave good, you know. So those things that people call tiny, tiny things, you shouldn't call them tiny things. You know, you Allah, Zajar al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Shubhi Qa'iman, you know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shouted at somebody and he warned somebody who was drinking while standing. Just do it. What's wrong with that? You know? And a person eating with the left hand, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, eat with the right hand. He said, la astata. He said, la astata'at. And then, khalas, he lost his hand. Yeah, so sometimes we eat, you know, how many times I see our brothers, you know, brothers, when I say brothers, really, really brothers, you know what I'm talking about. And who am I intending in my talk, you know? See them eating with the left. Ala barakatillah. What message are we sending to others? No, don't worry. Because these things, they don't contain any harm to anybody. Yeah, when you sit down and eat properly, health-wise is better for you. And you follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and you get reward. Who are you harming? Nobody. Yeah. When you eat seated, you are not harming anyone. So why are you shy of others? What other people are going to say, you know? You don't harm anyone. You don't disturb anyone. If you disturb, this is his problem, you know? The wrongdoers and the bad people are doing whatever they want and they are not shy of people, you know? They'll come in public and do all of these stupidities and you are doing the right thing and you think it is not okay for you to do it because people might be looking at you, people might be making comments, you know? Let them make comments. As long as you're doing the correct thing, you shouldn't worry at all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and tawfiq and make our brothers be the best role model for others to imitate, inshallah. Finish the question. Okay, the last two questions.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. Is it okay not to allow the walima on indications that it will not be according to the Sunnah?
No, it's not okay to refuse making the walima. You should do the walima. It's inappropriate for a person to marry without making the walima. But it is his wajib to stop the evil. This is my walima. Why do I entertain something else? Do you get the idea? I have banned people from doing. If they go and do something which is beyond my control, that's a problem. But I make it very, clear that know this, know that. If somebody bring that, I will just tell him, I apologize, but please. This is a place of happiness. Please cool down. We already said in our invitation that this thing is not allowed in this place. Please, accept my apology. No need to shout, no need to get angry, but smile and stop him from doing it. Yeah, but walima is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even some of the scholars made it wajib. Why would you stop it because you think some people will be doing something wrong? You're the one who is supposed to be in control, not others.
There's a question from sister. While you were reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in your prayer, after you recite Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you paused for a bit. Sheikh, why did you do that? Can you explain?
Who's that? This person? Yeah. Or this one? No, that was because of my voice. Yeah, these days I fight my voice from time to time. There was nothing except that one. Yeah. Good question. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. For a mushaf being half in Arabic and half in English, the Taqi al-Din and the Muhsin Khan copy, do we consider this as tafsir?
Yeah, inshallah, translation.
Since it has hadith too.
Yeah, that's translation yeah. of what is said to be yeah. the meaning of the Quran.
Yeah. So, can yeah. it be touched by a person?
Yeah, the person can touch. So, she just avoid touching the Arabic part. There's no need to touch the Arabic part. You just holding the Quran and holding the pages. And that's it. No need to touch inside. That's it. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is the time for Maghrib?
7:58.